Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Today, Eric Hastine is the Memphis Grizzlies Radio Network play-by-play host, announcer, beg your pardon, I think I've done that before, my apologies, joins us each and every Thursday. Eric, have the Oklahoma City Thunder blown past the Memphis Grizzlies?
I mean, they're really good. They play well on both ends of the floor. They've got young talent. They've got a bigger-than-average point guard that doesn't rely on threes, that gets to the basket. Jalen Williams, one of the two, the one from Santa Clara that was the lottery pick, has a tremendous wingspan, really good shooter. Lou Dort can shoot it. Chet Holmgren protects the rim. They've got a great balance. They really do have a great balance of talent. Are they championship contenders this year? I think you have to think potentially a little bit. If they're the number one seed, you can't just write them off because they don't have experience, but that will play a factor. But are they just young and inexperienced enough to play through things and just go, hey, we're here and we're going to make our noise? They're catching a break with the Pelicans not having Zion. There's no doubt. But you saw in game one, Jonas Valanciunas with the 20 rebounds. He can flex his muscle a little bit. When you get to a matchup with Denver, potentially, if everything holds serve, what do you do with Nikola Jokic? I'm sorry. Chet Holmgren's a really good rim protector, shot seeker in terms of a block, of a block shot. Jokic will teach him more than one lesson if they meet in the series. So, but I love the way Shai Gilgeous-Alexander controls the tempo of a game and gets to his spots. He was in game one. I forgot who was defending him, but he basically got cut off on the baseline. It might have been Nance. He got cut off on the baseline, shouldered in. Nance read it, shouldered in. Nance read it, and he said, all right, so I'll just step back and make a 12-footer.
Yeah.
You took away two moves. My third move is I'm just going to shoot it over you and make it. And when you can do that, you're like, what do you do? Like, what do you do? There's a reason he averaged over 30, and he's in the MVP, final three. So I don't think he'll win it, but he's got a chance to get one soon. So, yeah, I don't know that they'd say blow past the Grizzlies was your question, because I think when the Grizzlies are healthy, there's a lot of intriguing matchups. If the Grizzlies get a big to put pressure on them, that's the key.
This strikes me a lot like, what was it? I guess 2 years ago, technically.
22.
Yeah, the Grizzlies played the Timberwolves in a series where they were the 2 seed and the Timberwolves were the 7 seed.
And T-Wolves came out of a play-in.
And the Grizzlies went out and did what they were supposed to do. And then they went up against the Warriors.
Not in game one, they didn't.
That's true.
The Thunder almost
blew game one in this series. And ultimately, that's probably why they're going to end up sweeping it, is the Pelicans had their chance to steal one on the road and didn't. And that's generally, a lot of times that can decide a series. It swung the Lakers series a year ago. The Grizzlies had a chance in game four to steal one in the Staples Center. That series goes.
And they didn't play well in game one.
Yeah, and they didn't play well. But the Crypto.com arena, I called it Staples, but, that swung the whole series, it felt like. That was, they won game five, but it was too much to overcome after that. I just look at it, they may end up, quote unquote, passing the Grizzlies by. But let's like have them actually do it first before we declare it. You know, like let's see them win this series. Then let's see them go beat the Clippers or the Mavericks in the second round and get, if they can go get to the Western Conference Finals, then I'm willing to say, oh yeah, they've passed the Grizzlies by. But until they do, like let's not put the cart before the horse. You know what I mean?
I do, because I think we're so much of a society that gets to be we're creatures of the moment. We're prisoners of the moment. So now we're seeing this team get a number one seed. They beat the Pelicans 2 straight. They're the great, you know, they've blown
Pelicans without their best player, by the way.
Well, here's the thing. There's an entire offseason, and then there's next year. Are they really good? They're going to be really good next year. There's no question. But can the Grizzlies be really good? Can the Pelicans be really good? Can the Mavericks be really good? Can the Clippers still be really good? What's their situation? Nuggets, we know, are going to be really good. The Timberwolves, we know, are going to be really good because everybody signed up. Again, for the Grizzlies, this offseason is critical to get back into that upper echelon, because if you don't get a big to help you with the rebounding and set big screens and not worry about touches, which is why I had 6 questions the night Jonas Valanciunas was grabbing rebound after rebound against Oklahoma City. Why did we get rid of him? Why did they let him go? Look at his numbers. And I'm like, because he needed the ball to engage in the game. And when you have a dynamic point guard in Ja Morant who needed to be able to spread his wings, dictate the tempo of the game, set his feet down early in a game as, if you don't come get me, I'm going to go for 50 tonight. Or if you're going to play off me, I'm going to get everybody involved. But he had to have that ability. When you don't have that ability because a guy needs a ball early to get going, or he won't get going and then he becomes a liability, that becomes a problem with that type of offense. So it wasn't anything against Jonas. It wasn't that they didn't love Jonas. Everybody loved Jonas. But he needed the ball to really be able to engage in the game. And when that happens, and then you don't get him the ball and he doesn't engage in the game, wasn't exactly a staunch pick-and-roll defender. So the guy you go get, never thinking about offense, always thinking about rebounding, offensive rebounding, setting screens, rolling to the basket, doing all the little team things, to the point where how many times do we see Steven Adams with a wide open 5 feet to a basket and he would pass and you're like, no, go attack the rim right there. And he, I remember him saying to an assistant coach, I get in the mode of I'm going to get the other guys involved, even if I have the open shot, because that's what I've always done. I played with Westbrook. I played with, you know, Harden was traded, so he was gone. Played with Durant.
Yeah.
I played with that group. Played with Ibaka. Then in New Orleans, I played with Ingram. I played with guys that it wasn't my job to score. It was my job to rebound, to protect the pick and roll, to protect it, the defensive glass and hammer the offensive glass. No one ever looked at me and expected me to go score. And the assistant coach says, you know what would make Ja Morant really, really happy? And he goes, what? And he goes, if you helped him get to 10 assists a night. Because when you pass out of shots that he gave you the ball to, where you're wide open and can easy get the bucket, he doesn't get that assist. And the difference between 8.2 and 9.9 or 10 on a stat sheet, it's not that far, but it's a difference in a lot of zeros in the next paycheck. Because now you're at 25, 26, 27, and 10 guy. Not a 27 and 8 guy, a 27 and 7 guy. You're a double-double average. That's incredibly valuable. And your numbers are going to go up, too. Somebody's getting that bucket. You might as well take it when you're wide open. And he went, oh, okay. Then he hurt his knee.
The other thing that has struck me in the playoffs, and I get it, it doesn't help that Boston lost last night, but I'm willing to sit there and go, you know, maybe the team that made 23, maybe the team that made 23 threes, like, that maybe we don't
happen.
Maybe we don't have to, like, look too far beyond just that right there. But the other thing that has really struck me is, when I'm watching the West, I don't really have to work that hard to say, you know, if things break a certain way, there's about 5 teams that I think could win it all. In the East, it's almost like if Giannis comes back and comes back at reasonable health, like I don't think it's reasonable to think he's coming back 100%, but if he comes back well enough, it's like, okay, I can kind of get myself to 2. And the question that I have is basically what, since Kobe and Shaq in 2000, We've basically spent the last 25 years where there have been good teams in the East, but the West is almost year after year.
Well, let's be real. It's been LeBron in the East when he's been in the East.
Correct. But I think the thing that really that perplexes me is why has consistently for 25 years the West been so much tougher than the East?
Man, that's a great question, because you would think that the teams that were bad in the East, with all the high draft picks they've had, with all the opportunities they've had, they should have built something. I think Chicago, it was unfortunate what happened to Derek. They were on a path where they were going to be elite for years, and then Derek gets hurt, and that changed the complexion of that whole scenario. Not once, but twice, by the way. So that changed it, and that's unfortunate. Sometimes that happens, but no, you're not wrong, because you're wondering, like, what? Why? Why are these teams in the East perpetually bad?
It's not like there are rules. It's not like there are rules in the NBA to, we got to make sure the West is tough. You know what I mean?
Well, now, to be fair, we have had some recent NBA champions from the East. Milwaukee,
right, but like,
Toronto. But you're right. The depth isn't there.
Correct.
The depth isn't there.
So let's go through the two teams. Milwaukee built it organically. Got a guy they took a chance on. Stayed steady with their head coach. They brought in from Atlanta. He was there. Eventually, unfortunately for him, wore out his welcome a little bit, and they moved on. Okay, great. And you still have an elite-level team in that Milwaukee team. The Toronto thing, they made a massive move in the offseason, getting off a group that was a pretty typical Eastern Conference team.
Yeah.
Couple all-stars, couple dudes that were okay, mediocre bench. Let's go get the elite guy. Let's go get DeMar DeRozan to San Antonio and have them send Kawhi Leonard. Only what they did was very Western Conference-like, and they said, oh, yeah, by the way, you can have Jakob Poeltl, too, if we can have Danny Green, because we need a 3-and-D guy. They put the pieces together. A lot of times for me, for whatever reason, a lot of these Eastern Conference teams over the years have been superstar-centered, try to get a second star because of what Boston and then Miami did, and then they don't put the right role players around them. Milwaukee put the right role players. Pat Connaughton has been in Milwaukee as a role player for a long time. Brook Lopez has now been in Milwaukee as a role player for a long time. Look at what Brooklyn had. Harden, Irving, and Durant. Can you name one of their role players?
You're seeing it play out with the Suns right now in this Minnesota series.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Can you name one of the guys?
Well, I mean, we're seeing it with the Lakers. And actually, as you talk through it, like, I'm starting to wonder, is maybe the answer as simple as, because my first theory was, typically in the West, we see, like, if you look in the NFL and go look at that NFLPA survey, the teams that said they basically hate their owner, they're all teams that had ownership that's, like, handed down. It's kind of been in the family. And in the West, you have more people that have bought their teams. There's more money. It's more new age stuff. And it's like, that was kind of my first theory. But now that you're talking through it, maybe it's just as simple as LeBron's been in the East for so long. Everyone started building a team. We've got to build a team to beat LeBron. And Right. And you couldn't do it because in the end they had LeBron. And so everyone tried to kind of do it that way that you're talking about, which is get our superstar, get two other guys with him. And it's like, yeah, well, their superstar is LeBron.
Now, I mean, like, Dallas beat them.
And the San Antonio.
Yeah, so you can beat them. But I think it's a little bit of everything. They put the right pieces together. Ownership makes sense. The one that you can make, Glenn Taylor's been in Minnesota. Now, that apparently, that's still there because the A-Rod group hasn't followed.
Did you hear Brian? Were you listening to the broadcast on whatever that was? Was that Tuesday? Brian Anderson, I was like, holy cow, this kind of told me what the NBA thought. Brian Anderson's like, and there's A-Rod, and who's his business partner? Whoever the guy is. And then across the way, they showed Taylor. And Brian Anderson's like, what a weird situation that is.
Well, and aren't they going to mediation?
But it was like,
I had no idea what to say to Glenn Taylor when I walked by him in the hall the last road trip game to Minneapolis.
Right.
I saw him and his wife, and I was like, I looked at one of their PR people who's a friend of mine. I was like, what is he doing here? And they said, oh, you haven't heard? And I said,
how much time do you have?
And I said, oh, no, it's like, it hadn't really gone public. They're like, there's a lot of reports that they're not going to meet the deadline. I said, wait, what? I had always heard they were easily going to meet the deadline. And he goes, no, there's like something came out recently. And I was like, well, pardon me for not paying attention during an NBA season to Timberwolves ownership gossip. And Glenn Taylor was right back where he was in the media room with his wife eating dinner like he did every year when we when he was the full-on owner. I was like, oh, my.
God, I hope these I hope these mediation things get public somehow. Because to your point, I'm not sure I buy that story. The story that seems like it makes the most sense is Glenn Taylor saw the team winning, and either it's like I'm
well, Glenn Taylor saw, I think, I might be able to get more.
It's either hey, I can get a bigger price tag for this, or it's I don't really want to sell the team because I want credit for this.
Right. Could be. All of that could be right. But for the most part, they've had the same owner. Phoenix, until he went off the deep end, treating people horribly. Sarver was there. They didn't always love him, but he was always there. The one, and then the Warriors ownership group came in and did amazing things. Fantastic. The one that's weird is the Kings one, because Vivek Ranadive came in and at first was trying to do all these wild, weird things. Like even the point, the whole thing that came up, he's like, well, on my daughter's AAU team, they played basically 4-on-4. They kept one girl down on the other end. And if the other team tried to score 5-on-4 every time they missed, it was a bucket. I was like, yo, this isn't girls, you know, 12-year-old right. basketball. No matter how talented they are, these are the best NBA players in the world. You play 5-on-4, they're going to score 85% of the time, and they're going to be smart enough to turn and sprint when they're not the one shooting, and now you don't have an advantage. You'll get murdered that way. And so he kind of got out of that, finally let some people take over. They still had a lot of turmoil in the offices, but in the end, he went and hired the right coach. He and Jaeger butt heads, and Dave is a great coach, and then Dave moved on. But then not good when your owner sends a text to a group and one of the names in there is Luke, and he figures it's Luke in the front office, not Luke Walton, the coach.
Yeah.
And he sends the group text that says, I think we may have made a big mistake with this coaching hire.
Hey, yeah, yeah.
What does Luke Walton say to that? Hey, thanks for the vote of confidence, boss. No, you check out. So there were problems there. But Denver, same ownership group. Like you said, Lakers, same ownership group. But people committed to the problem. Not owners that have had the same ownership group and had problems. We know what the Dolan situation is in New York. It's a mess. So there could be something to that. The Nets situation has been a mess until Josiah took over. I mean, whatever the guy's name that came over from
Prokhorov.
Prokhorov, yeah. And that was just, that didn't go well. Herb Cole's been steady in Milwaukee. The Boston ownership's been steady. So there's something to that. I think there's just also something to, when you draft the wrong way, it makes such a difference. I mean, for the longest time, Orlando's going, let's go 6'11 long and athletic and hope he can play. Oops.
Can't shoot right now.
Yeah. Then you go get Jalen Suggs. Okay, well, we went and got a guard, but we got lucky and got Bancaro. Sometimes it's all luck, but it's been wild because I said the same thing. Go back through this stretch. This really started not only with Shaq and Kobe, but then, you know, you had the other things in the East come through. There was the year, the first year was Zach Randolph here, that you had to have 50 wins to get the 8th seed. 50.
Feels like we're trending back to that too.
That was the 46 to get the 10 this year. Yeah, you are trending back to that. You were very close to it this year. What did the Lakers finish with? 48? They were 8. 48's not far from 50. And you had two. And the only reason I think it was only 48 was you had the play-in tournament. If you had 48 and the teams behind you at whatever the Warriors and things were, if they let go of the rope late, you might have gotten to everybody had 50. And in the East, it wasn't anywhere near that. So I can't figure it out. I don't know if it's fan support in certain cities, i.e. Atlanta, until they redid everything, and now it's kind of an event to go to a Hawks game, even though they, you know, didn't get in there. Or, you know, situation, weather-wise, whatever it may be. But I don't know, man. It's hard to figure out because the West is a gauntlet. And even though everybody wants to go, oh, they've moved past the Grizzlies, great. But next year, one injury, and you could say the same thing about the Grizzlies. It's the same way with all of these Western Conference teams. They're so competitive. their team will survive an injury to their star player or sitting out if it's one of them, but you'll fall back. And when you fall back, even if you get healthy, it's hard to recover. Look at Philadelphia. If Joel Embiid's right, and after all the injuries they went through and they had to step back and get in the play-in, if they were right, and I don't know that he is after what happened in game one, I just don't. It's hard for me to imagine that. I watch him rebounding, and I don't see the same aggression. But if he's right, that would be the third team in the East I could say, you can go do this, right? You can go make that run. There is no chance a play-in tournament team in the West gets in there. There's just none to me. It just doesn't seem feasible or likely. The Lakers made a run last year. They have LeBron. That may be the one way. But they're down 2-0 right now.
Eric, we really appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks, Eric.
Talk to you guys next week.
Eric Hasseltine. Oh.
I got a quick question for you. What's the 1-1 series that's most interesting to you? Mavericks, Clippers, Bucks, Pacers, or now Celtics, Heat? Because tonight we got all 2-0 series.
Is this even really a question, right? It's got to be Clippers and Mavs, right?
Yeah. That's the most interesting one. Which one do you think? Well, do you think the Bucks could get upset here?
Yeah, because if you think about it, like, okay, how did the Bucks?
I think we both agree. Boston lost that game last night. They might have more trouble than you expected.
Yeah.
I still don't think the Heat are beating Boston.
I mean, you could talk me into, all right, the only reason they won game one is because Lillard was so awesome in the first half, and then, you know, the Pacers just had a bad game plan. And in the second game, even though Lillard, yet again, was awesome in the first half, they're like, hey, they don't have anyone that can guard Siakam. We're just going to go ahead and feed him. You could talk me into their trouble. They're in trouble if Giannis doesn't come back. But I think the real reason to me why it's Mavericks Clippers is I'm not saying, like, I still think if anybody comes out of the West and it's not Denver, I'm surprised a little bit. Mm-hmm. But if Denver gets upset, you can talk me into one of those teams.
Those teams being the team that does it. Yeah. That's it.
You can definitely do that.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.